Luke chapter 1, humbled by that. I'm thankful for a church that a pastor allows me. Is it on? It's on. There we go. Allows me to preach, and glad he's not selfish. Glad he has a cough every now and then. Yeah, that's not contagious. Amen. And but I appreciate our church, and I tell our Sunday school class all the time, if you don't appreciate our church, just go visit others. Oh, it fell down. That's what happened. Grabbed my jacket a while ago. Sorry. Thought you were telling me to stand up. I'm like, this is as tall as I'm going to get. I'm standing on my tiptoes as it is. But I appreciate our church. I do. And Carson, great job tonight. How long has he been taking piano now? A year? 2 years? 2 months? Two and a half? Man, that's really, really good, buddy. Good job. And we're going to be all right on the piano scale. And man, we got a lot of piano players coming up. And I'm very thankful for Jessica teaching these kids and Abby and all of our other piano teachers. I'm very thankful for that. And we need piano players in our churches today. Amen. You call any church, there's two things that churches are in need of. Number one is a song director. I don't ever get calls for nobody want me to come preach. But they want me to come lead singing or sing. But number two is they need somebody to play the piano. And we're so blessed. I don't know how many we have in our church. I think it's around 7 or 8 piano players that we have in this church. We're blessed. Amen. But all of us are going to go off the scene, and we got to have others to take their take our place. And so I'm very thankful for this new generation. And kids that are learning, can I just say, keep playing the right kind of music. Use your talent for the Lord. Just as God gave it to you, He can take it away. And you use it for the right reason. And God will bless you for that. Luke chapter 1. I'll talk about the Christmas story tonight. And I'll preach on the subject of a message from an angel. A message from an angel. And we know that angel to be Gabriel. And we'll begin in verse 26. Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. A message from an angel. By the way, what a message this is. I hope you get this. When Gabriel gives this announcement, it's called an announcement if you have a Schofield Bible, but it's more than an announcement. It's a message. It's, a matter of fact, most of it is prophetic in message, and so we'll look at that. The Bible says in the 6th month, this will have been around their September month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth. By the way, Nazareth was never really spoken of in the Old Testament. You don't read about Nazareth. It was a small town. And so it was not mentioned until here in Matthew, actually was the first to tell us about Nazareth. But notice verse 27. It says, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came into her and said, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. He said, you're highly favored. That doesn't mean that she was sinless. That just simply means that she found grace from God. God gave her grace, and He'll say it again here in a minute. And by the way, if the start of the Catholic prayer is Hail Mary, Mother of Mother of Grace or something like that. Yeah, but it's not grace she gives. Amen. It's grace that she had received. Amen. Mary gives no grace. Mary received grace. And so anyway, yeah, there we go. It'll come out. Look it up. But notice the next thing. It says, and when, verse 29, it says, and when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. Would you? You say, why was she troubled? Well, number one, an angel standing there talking to her. Number two, you're going to be pregnant. I mean, you know. But get this, and it says, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this will be. And the angels said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. That means grace. She has found grace, just as Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 31 says, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And then the Bible says, he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said, Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered, I'm glad he answered her, by the way. You know, that's a good question. Needed a good answer. But here it is. By the way, he didn't just answer this to Mary. He also answered this to Joseph. They both would have understood what was going on. Now the Bible says, "And he answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has conceived a son in her old age, and in the sixth month with her, and who is called barren." But notice verse 37 says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Tonight we'll preach on the subject of a message from an angel after we pray. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for your goodness. And Lord, I do thank you for a church that allows me to preach. And God, thank you for folks that are receptive to your word. But God, Lord, if you don't show up tonight in your power and your presence, Lord, it'll all be in vain. And so, God, I have nothing to say of myself. Lord, I have nothing to say from myself that would change a heart tonight. But God, through your word, that would change hearts and change lives tonight. God, I pray that you bless your word now as it goes forth. I pray that you would just be honored and glorified in what's said and done. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So there were three stages of a Jewish wedding. Our wedding, and you see that it says in verse 27 that to a virgin, espoused to a man. There was three stages. It was the engagement stage. That was a formal agreement made by the fathers. The fathers agreed on this thing. And then there was the espousal stage. It was the ceremonial, was where the mutual promises were made. It was a pretty serious thing. From this point on, you had to have a divorce. They were not necessarily married, but they took the oath so seriously that from this point on that you would have to go through a written divorce to be separated from this point. And that lasted about a year long. And then there was the actual marriage ceremony in which the husband would come. And matter of fact, it was not an appointed time. He would come at an unexpected time. Kind of like Jesus coming back for his bride. He's coming back not on a date. He's not coming back on a schedule that man has set, but he's coming back unexpectedly. The Bible says that he's coming back as a thief in the night. And so we see that these three stages. So Mary's and Joseph are in the middle stage. This is the stage where they keep themselves pure. This is a stage where, by the way, if you can make it a year, you're in pretty good shape. Hallelujah. And then we see that Jesus says here is that the virgin was espoused to a man. Twice in the verses we just read, it speaks of a virgin. By the way, we believe in the virgin birth. And why do we believe that? Well, because sin was passed down through Adam. The Bible says that in Romans 5:12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death was passed upon all men, for all have sinned." And then Romans 5:14 says, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of that one that would come." 1 Corinthians 15:22 says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." We know that sin was passed down through the father. It was passed down through the male. And so when Jesus came born of a virgin, that meant that there was no father other than the heavenly father. What did that mean? It meant that he was born sinless. Not like me and you. I know my father. I was born a sinner. I know my father's father. I was born a sinner. I knew my father's father's father. I knew my great-grandfather. I know that I was born into sin, and in sin did my mother conceive me. But Jesus needed the human aspect, and he used Mary, a virgin, a pure woman, to bring forth the seed of a son. And so we see that God the Father was the Father. And he used Mary to bring forth his son into this world. By the way, we're not to worship her. There's nothing about her that we should worship. And I still to this day, if just a common knowledge of this Bible will tell you that she should not be worshipped. She was just a tool that God used greatly. If we're going to worship Mary, we might as well worship Moses. If we worship Mary, we might as well just worship Paul. If we worship Mary, we might as well just worship Joseph of the Old Testament. If we worship Mary, we might as well worship John the Revelator, whoever it may be. But can I tell you, God used her. And by the way, I'm glad he used her. 21st century, that might be hard to find. Somebody say amen. But I'm glad that Mary was pure. Not only was he born pure, he lived pure and he died pure. And he rose pure. I want to give you three things. Number one, the purity of Christ. The purity of Christ. The purity of Christ, I just went through that, how He was born into purity. Jesus was born with no sin because His Father was God the Father. He was born the sinless one. Why? If He wasn't the sinless one, let's go home and watch football. Because we are wasting our time if we serve a Savior who had one drop of sin in Him. Because I don't need a Savior with sin because I've already got that taken care of. I need a Savior who is sinless that can take my sin upon Him at the cross and make me sinless because of His sinlessness. That's a hallelujah. I serve a risen Savior, but I serve a sinless Savior. The purity of Christ because of Mary, because of God being the Father. Now, I want you to notice the second thing, not only the purity of Jesus, but we see the person of Jesus. We see the person of Jesus in verse 31. The Bible says, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." Now, there's only two words or two names in the Bible that are capitalized all the way through. The first one is used in conjunction with God. 11 times in the Old Testament, the word God is capitalized all the way through, G-O-D. There's 11 times that we see it in the New Testament, according to Jesus, that is all caps. You think, why is it like that? Now, Babel is all caps, but it's all caps because of its wickedness. But here, it is all caps. By the way, it's only if you have a King James Bible. If you have another Bible, it's not all caps. There's an importance of that. Why? Because of this. Because it's showing the importance of that name. All capitalized, God was putting an emphasis upon that name. You say, well, what's the emphasis? Well, Jesus means Jehovah is salvation, or God is our Savior. Is Jesus our Savior? Yes, He is. He is the Savior of the world. We see that, and you know these verses, Philippians 2, 9 through 11 says, "Wherefore God hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things of earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." He said He's given Him a name like no other name. You say, wait a minute, I know Jesus. He is the chef down at the restaurant. His name's Jesus, but His name is Jesus. There's people's names that, so what separates them? It separates them because of the purity. It separates because they were not virgin born. They may have the same name, but that name is not lifted up. It beats all I've ever seen in our world today, is that you can say God, Mary, John, Paul, whoever, but you say Jesus, and it's like, put your hands behind your back. You're under arrest for saying the name of Jesus. Well, you know why that is? Because He is offensive. Matter of fact, the Scripture told us that He would be a stumbling block to those who are lost. The very name of Jesus has power in it. When you say it with the authority of God, that Jesus is the name that... By the way, we say Jesus is the reason for a season, right? Isn't He? Don't ever lose that. He's not in lights and all those gifts and things. Those things are all right. But we should not forget that it is the name of Jesus, that He has been lifted up. No one has ever been born like Him. No one has ever lived like Him. No one has ever died like Him. And no one has ever risen like Him. Can I say there is no other Jesus like my Jesus? When Jesus came, born of a virgin, and God gave Him a name which was above all names, which was Jesus. And now I want you to look at the third thing. We see the prophecy of Jesus in verses 32 through verse 35. So we have the purity of Jesus. We have the person of Jesus. But then we have the prophecies of Jesus in verses 32 through 35. In this one, you'll find out what He shall be. You'll find out what He shall be called, and then you'll find out what He shall do. Notice the shalls in here. By the way, the word shall is a definite word. It is a word of immediacy. It's a word that is of definite, that it's going to happen. And several times in these few verses, verse 32 and 33, you'll see the word shall. By the way, if the word shall's in the Bible, it's going to come to pass. Now I want you to notice the prophecy of Christ. We see in the first part of this verse, it says, "And He shall be great." Notice that He shall be great. That tells us what He shall be. He shall be great. What does that mean? Well, here's what Spurgeon said. I thought this was pretty good. Spurgeon said, Is it not proven that he is great? Question. Conquerors are great, and he is the greatest of them. Deliverers are great, and he's the greatest of them. Liberators are great, and he is the greatest of them. Saviors are great, but he is the greatest of them all. Spurgeon sounded that out from the tabernacle when he was preaching. And can I say the message is still true, that Jesus is not shall be great, but he is great. We live in the time that he is great. You say, well, I'm going through a hard time. He's greater than your hard time. You say, oh, I'm a lost sinner on my way to hell. He's greater than those sins. You say, oh, I have anxiety. He's greater than anxiety. You say, I have kids that are messing their lives up. He's greater than those kids. Can I say he is greater than all? Amen. We see the second thing. Notice the rest of that verse that it says, not only shall he be great, but he shall be called the Son of the Highest. Not only what he shall be, but what he shall be called. Even though Jesus was born of Mary, by the way, not in Scripture other than Mark chapter 6, verse 3, is he ever called the Son of Mary. And by the way, he was only called the Son of Mary by those really who were mocking him. They said, is this the carpenter, the Son of Mary? It was. So if you take that instance out, never one time did God reference to his own Son as being the Son of Mary. But old time and time again, he was called the Son of God. The Son of God. He was called God incarnate. He was God in the flesh. And can I say that tonight he is the Son of the Highest. That there's no one higher than Jesus. There's nobody that is more qualified. There's nobody above him like Jesus. I want to say a lot more there, but I won't. And what shall he do? Here's what we like right here. What shall he do? Notice what he says here. And the Lord God, notice the word shall, give unto him the throne of his father David. Verse 33 has another shall in it. Actually, two of them. It says, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. The house of Jacob was a house of promise. And then he says, his kingdom there, here's another shall for you, shall have no end. Let me give you what it says in the Old Testament. You can write this down, look at it later. But 2 Samuel 7, verses 12 through 16. 2 Samuel 7, 12 through 16 says, and when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, talking about David, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will be chastened with the rod of men, and with stripes of the children of men. But by my mercy shall not depart away from him. And I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. By the way, one day, there's going to be a kingdom set up. And it's going to be forever. And by the way, you know what that means if his kingdom is forever? And by the way, I believe the kingdom of heaven's already established, prophetically speaking. And if it's forever, and he's our high priest forever, you can't lose your salvation. Because our high priest never ceases. He never sits down. And David knew in his kingdom time, as being king, he knew that his kingdom would come to an end. He knew that he would die. But can I say, I'm glad we have a Savior that was prophesying that his kingdom shall have no end. No end at all. And Jesus said that his kingdom was established forever. Well, if there's no end, it must mean we're going to live with him forever. Hallelujah. You say, well, what has all this got to do with Christmas? Well, we're talking about Jesus. Why was he born? Jesus was born, he had to be born of purity, right? He had to be born of that purity. We see that in the Scripture. But we also see the person of Christ in verse 31 through his name. By the way, if you go back to Isaiah chapter 7 and chapter 9, you'll see it gives many names of him. He shall be called Wonderful and Counselor and Prince of Peace and all these things. He shall be called Emmanuel, meaning what? God with us. You ever thought about that? in Matthew chapter 1 or Matthew chapter 2 tells us the story of Jesus Christ being born. Before the book of Matthew, before the Gospels were written, there was 400 years of darkness. The Dark Ages. But before that happened, the last prophecy from Isaiah was given saying, Emmanuel's going to be with you. God's going to be with you. Jesus is going to be with you. And so they waited for that hope. Now, can I also say a lot of them missed it? They didn't realize that God was with them when He walked on the streets of Galilee, walked on the streets of Jerusalem. They missed it. But can I tell you that He's coming back again? Amen. You know, we can look back to Christmas, can't we? I like thinking about the birth of Christ. But you know what? I look forward to the next coming, which will be the rapture. We'll be raptured out of this world, 7 years of tribulation. And then what's going to happen? He's going to set up His millennial kingdom. And He's going to rule and reign from Jerusalem for what? Ever. Amen. Hallelujah. That brings peace to my heart. By the way, I was watching Fox News the other day, and they were showing some things in Bethlehem. You know, they were riding and all these things. And good grief, if they didn't have rocks over there, what would they do? Yeah. The police, they ought to go through there and clean up every rock in that city, and they would have nothing to throw at them. But anyway, they'd ship them in from Amazon. But I was thinking, and the commentator was talking about that this time of the year is supposed to be a time of peace. And these are people on TV saying this. This is supposed to be a joyous time. This is supposed to be a time of hope and peace and all these things. And I was thinking, you know what? Jerusalem's never going to have peace until that kingdom's set up again. And can I say that we can have peace today? We don't have to wait for that millennial kingdom to have peace. Why? Because Jesus was born. And because Jesus lived a sinless life, because He was born sinless. And tonight we can look forward to the prophecy that one day He's going to come and set up a millennial kingdom. By the way, when He sets up a millennial kingdom, He's not going to be born again in a manger. He's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Are you ready for that coming? He came the first time, born of a virgin. He's born in a lowly manger and all these things that, you know, he was born as a man, as a baby. I've told you this before. You ever thought about that? I mean, He was really a baby. It wasn't like He didn't mess His diapers up. I mean, I know we hate to think about that, but that He was God in the flesh, but He chose to come that way. To feel, when he fell down, it hurt Him. When He wasn't having anything to drink from His mother, from Mary, guess what? He cried too, maybe. I don't know. But He was a baby. He was truly a baby. He went through the teenage years. But He was put on a cross for our sins. And when all the sins of the world were placed upon Him, He felt them. And God turned His back. And the earth became dark and shook. Why? Because He truly was God and He truly took all of our sins on Him. But one day He's coming again. And here Gabriel gives us a great message. It says, He shall be great, and He shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto Him the throne of David. And it says, to His kingdom there shall be what? No end. I like things that don't end, that are good. It's kind of like probably my message tonight. You wish it would hurt men. Well, it is ended. It's early, I know. But sometimes I get somewhere and I enjoy certain things, and man, I just don't want it to end. We've already said we hate leaving when the fish are biting. Hate that. I mean, you know, fish are biting, but we got to go. You know, church or something like that, you know. And, you know, man, I hate to leave. Don't you hate to leave whenever you're having good fellowship with one another? But you know, one day we don't have to leave. One day we're going to rule and reign with Him forever. Why? Because it was told by Gabriel, the angel. God allowed him to prophesy of what Jesus was going to do. Not just in the birth, not just being a baby, not just being a teenager, not just being hung on a cross, but the future of our life is with Him forever. Let's pray. Let's stand tonight. Father, we love You. Thank You for the night. God, thank You for Your blessings. And Lord, I know just a short thought You gave me, and Lord, it's been on my heart for a few days, and God, I sure hope I honored You tonight. I hope I glorified Christ tonight. Lord, I realize that Lord, your message is not bound by time. But God is bound by the Spirit that he would go forth and resound the anthem that Christ was born, yes, a baby. Yes, he was born pure and of a virgin. But Lord, also for us who are saved tonight, that he's coming again, that his kingdom would be established forever. And God, we have hope tonight. And God, this can be a time of peace and hope because of not only what he's done, but what he will do. God, thank you for your perfect word. Thank you for allowing us to open it tonight. I pray you touch the hearts of your people. I don't know their needs tonight, but you do. And I pray that you'd meet those needs according to your will and your word. I love you and I thank you in Jesus' name as Pastor comes.